Okay, till 10:13. Okay, apologize for the lateness. It wasn't 100% my fault. Rockaway Turnpike was closed. We took a back road. We just had a car accident. I don't know who that is, but I'll take it as a yes. I can't see that far anymore. In the old days, I could see that far. Okay. So, we'll have to talk a little faster. I don't usually talk fast, but I think I'm going to have to talk a little faster tonight. The idea is that the Leket Yosha brings down, this is a funny year. We usually start Slichas and Matzah Shabbos like everyone knows. We don't have a set amount of days for Slichas. Is it 2 days or 4 days or 8 days? No, it does not. It depends on when Rosh Hashanah comes out. This year, because it's on Sunday night, we are lucky enough to have a full week of Slichas. So we started tonight, which is the week before that we normally start. Normally we'll start Matzah Shabbos Nitzavim, right before Rosh Hashanah. And this week, this year, we start Matzah Shabbos Kisavoy, because again, we have an extra week in between. So, why do we start Matzah Shabbos? Why don't we just have a set amount of days? So Leket Yosha brings down that L'maisa, the idea is to have Simcha on a Shabbos. You have a Simcha on a Shabbos, and you go into a Matzah Shabbos, but Simcha, that's the right way to start a Slichas, to start it with a Simcha. So I figure we'll talk about something on the Parsha that obviously is very, anyone who knows Kisavoy probably hate to say what's more famous than other sukkim, but this probably is a little more famous. The Pasuk of Mem Zayin says, when it talks about all the admonition, if that's the article word in English, all the non-blessings that affect the Jewish nation when they don't keep the laws, and then it says, what's the reason? Why do all these bad things happen? And it says in English, because you did not serve Hashem, your God, amid gladness and goodness of heart. So that's mamash open, what we have here. There's an idea that we must not only serve God, that's obvious, you have to serve Hashem with Simcha. If you're serving Hashem on Simcha, that's what it implies from the Pasuk. They served Hashem without Simcha, not that they didn't serve Hashem. So serving Hashem on Simcha is a major chasaron, enough possibly to have all of the klolos that come upon us. Famous story from the Klezmer Garov, that he was in the camps, and he lost 11 children and a lot more than that. And he was in the camps, and he was famous when he was doing one of his workmen detail, and one of the Talmidim was next to him listening in, and he was saying over this pasuk, because he didn't serve b'simcha, he was repeating this pasuk to himself. So we see Slichas, Matzah Shabbos, and Lamaisa, based on this pasuk of Simcha, that Simcha is a very important thing tonight, pre the choir and sushi that we're going to get later on. Just as itself, before you get into Slichas, there has to be some type of Simcha. So I figured we'll discuss the concept of Simcha, why it's so important, that I think it's a fascinating idea, and it applies to all of us in our everyday lives for sure. So we have on Matzah Shabbos as well, sometimes, not always, and not always it has to be Matzah Shabbos, but that's what people are noyig, to say over Kiddush Levana. In Kiddush Levana, we have an interesting pasuk that we say. Not a pasuk. Interesting phrase. I can find it here. I didn't know there was a siddur here, so this is good. No, I don't know where it is. Maybe it's on the weekday. It says that we talk about the Shemesh and the moon, the sun and the moon, and how we love the sun and the moon because they go out all time with Simcha. Right? Here it is. Vuruch Piv Kol Tzvam. Chaykuz Man Lasan Lehem. Hashem gave the sun and the moon specific time periods to work. They shouldn't change their job titles. In other words, I don't know the article English on this one here. Not only do they do their job, the sun and the moon, every day when you wake up, depends what time you wake up. I know the guys in the back might wake up when the sun's already setting. But most people are waking up around when the sun is rising. Sometimes they go to sleep, it depends when they're going to sleep. They're going to sleep when the sun is rising sometimes. So the idea is that there is an idea that you should know that the sun and the moon, from day one as far as we know, except for a few exceptions in by Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua, maybe a couple of special times, the sun and the moon do their job with the way they're supposed to do the job, the right way. Not only do they do the job, they're not Meshana the Tafkid in life, they're happy in the job that they're doing to do the Ritzayin Kainim that they're supposed to do. So on the surface, we read this on Matzah Shabbos, and then sometimes we say, we dance to the sun and moon, we have a moon dance, a sun dance, but L'maisa, this is a big kasha. The kasha is from the Pasuk in the Devarim that we read a few weeks ago. The Pasuk says like this. When Hashem is talking about, when Moshe Rabbeinu is quoting, that the Bizyonis, that the Yidden gave up what we have as Judaism, we have the real God, for fake services, for fake stuff, it says like this in English. And it is in chapter Yedzayim. And you will go and serve gods, lowercase g by article, because we're not talking about our gods, we're talking about fake gods, so they get lower g. They serve gods of others, not our Hashem, not the real ones, and prostrate himself to them, or to the sun of the moon, or to any host of heaven, which I have not commanded. Which I have not commanded. In Hebrew, Vayishtachu lehem, ulashemesh, oilayereach, oilachol tzvei hashamayim, ashaloitzi visi. So the simple interpretation on shaloitzi visi means, I didn't command you to serve those forces. There might be a legitimate cause to serve the sun and the moon, not for us now. That the idolatry might have began on a real concept of serving the sun and the moon. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I told you, no, don't do it. No, it's not a good idea. Don't serve those people. Serve me directly, and you gave up for that. If I remember, it's a Rashi. Hold on. Pasuk Gimel, does he say it here? Can't see, it's too small. Okay. Oh, Rashi has loved them. The Chassidus Sforim bring down, Ashaloi Tzivisi, it's a Rashi in other places as well, that Ashaloi Tzivisi meant that the sun and the moon have no choice. Mitzvah, a mitzvah. A mitzvah means that we have a choice to do something like that. You could choose to do something that you have a mitzvah to do. The mitzvah means you have a free choice. Ashaloi Tzivisi means that the sun and the moon were not given bechira. They don't have what we call natural bechira. The sun could decide tomorrow not to rise in the east and set in the west. There's a machloikas on how we show them what that means exactly. But it's not as simple to understand that the sun and the moon have a choice. Ashaloi Tzivisi means the sun and the moon, they have no free will. What are you doing with these people? What are you doing with these organizations that you're going to bow down to? They don't have free will. So now the obvious theory comes. The contradiction is the pasuk in the Torah says, Ashaloi Tzivisi, they have no free choice. So what do you mean that they didn't change? We say in davening by Kiddush Havana, yeah, don't worry about it. We love the sun and the moon. We dance in front of the sun and the moon. Why? Shliyishanu es tafkidim. They don't change their job. Sosimus mechem lasir tzitzayin koinim. What? Who cares? Of course they're doing their job. They don't have a choice. Eventually we're going to turn robots into humans. Now we have humans into robots because of the phones. Soon they're going to reverse it. They're going to do robots into humans. So when you have robots into humans, and the robot's going to do something right. They get schar v'oinish. They're going to get schar v'oinish. A robot doesn't have any choice. Animals get schar v'oinish. Depends on how you look at it. If you don't have free choice, you don't get real reward. We believe, if you can learn the Rambam Hilchas Tshuva, that the concept of free choice, the Rambam talks about the Hilchas Tshuva, what we're doing now. Why does the Rambam discuss free choice in Hilchas Tshuva? Because the whole idea of free choice is reward and punishment, and the free choice you have to do it, and therefore it's relevant to Tshuva. You had a chance to do A, you didn't do it, so do B now. That's the whole idea. So, wait a second. So if they don't have free choice, Hashem let you see, Son of Moon have no free choice. What are we excited about the Son of Moon for? Who cares? Of course they didn't change their job. Does that make any sense? There's gravity in the world. Every time I'm going to drop a ball, I'm going to say, oh, gravity, Baruch Hashem, gravity, I love the fact you're still doing gravity. No, the God of gravity, if there is one, I'm not sure, the God of gravity has to, based on his natural, whatever the words are, grab the ball as it goes down. That's the concept of gravity. Every single scientific nature we have, there's no free choice for the scientific nature to say, I'm not going to do it. On a simple level. So what are we excited about that we're saying, sun and moon, you guys are great. That's not so great. It doesn't work that way. So Rav Kapel Reich, he died before the war. He was a Rav in Budapest. Too long of a conversation to get into right now with him. Talmud Ksav Sofer, maybe the Talmud Ksav Sofer. So he has an unbelievable idea. He says like this. He says there are places in life, situations in life, like the sun and the moon, that you are obligated to be in. You don't have a free choice in everything. You don't have free choice. If you're driving to school and there's traffic on the Bell Parkway, on the Rockaway Turnpike, I have no free choice in that. If I come 10 minutes late, it's because you guys did something to deserve me coming 10 minutes late. Nothing I did. I don't think it's on me. It's on you guys. Why? Because there's some car accident. No free choice. But what there is free choice in, no matter what situation you're in, is simcha and sasim. So of course the Ashaloi Tzivisi. Of course the sun and the moon have no free choice. The sun is not rising in the west tomorrow. According to all psychological and nature rules, the sun will rise in the east tomorrow morning. Why are we giving credit to the sun? For what? I'll tell you why. Because even though it's Chaykuzman, Nasan Lem Shalay Shana Tafkidam, they can't change their job. They have no choice in that. But how do you do it? Sasim Usmechem Lasat Sain Koinam. They do it with a simcha. They say, yeah, that's my situation. I do it with a simcha. Lamaiso, we do a sun dance because of that. Why are we dancing to the sun? We don't dance to Kiddush. Maybe now they start dancing for Kiddush these days. But in most mitzvahs, people are not dancing. Why are you dancing for the sun and the moon? One of the reasons is because it's a mida keneged mida. The fact is, that the sun and the moon are doing, their whole tachlis, their whole reward, if we could use a reward on the sun and moon, is the fact that they do it b'simcha. Even though they're forced to do it. It doesn't make a difference. They're forced to do it, but they're allowed to have a simcha to it. So, every one of us has to know like this. Rav Dessler's famous, he said, brought another from before that, but he made it famous, that something called Nekudas HaBechira, free choice. Not everyone has the same free choice as somebody else. So for example, as a bad example, right now, nobody in this room has free choice to take out a chaza sandwich and start eating it. We're all in front of us right now. No one's eating a chaza sandwich in front of all of us. You don't have that? It's not a real bechira. How much credit can HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you right now, at this second, not eating chaza? very little credit you're going to get for not eating chazer right now. You get very little credit for not being over any arayas right now. You're sitting in a room, you're clothing, and you're in a shul. How many bad things can you do right now? Very few bad things you can do. But, so how much credit do you get? Many mitzvahs also. The fact is, depending on where you grew up, I'm not going to go into all the specific details, but let's say a guy like me, I'm going to say myself, because my father's here. My father raised me, and one of the few things he might have done right that he admits to is my mindset. I put on tefillin every day. When I go into some places, they tell me, oh, Rebbe, I put on tefillin. Yeah, okay, I don't know. By me, it's a habit. I do it automatically. Automatically. How much credit do I really get every day for putting on tefillin? Sadly to say, I don't get a lot of credit for putting on tefillin. I don't think so. But what I could get credit for putting on tefillin is that in the morning when I'm about to put on tefillin, I say, you know what, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I have no free choice to put this on. It's automatically. It's part of my nature, but I'm happy I'm doing it. I'm happy I'm doing it. That's something I do have free choice on. How I react to my situation, that's 100% within my sin. Therefore, every situation everyone's in, no matter what, we could handle a besimcha. And again, going into slichas, the main idea of going into slichas is the idea to know that there has to be simcha before our slichas. Why simcha? Because simcha is one of the few things in life you have full free choice over. You have that choice. The situation, you don't have choice. People have all types of tzaras in their lives. How they're going to deal with it, that's their choice. If you're dealing with simcha, that's your free choice. And that's something that's very important. I heard a story. A friend of mine told me the story this week. He told me he heard the story. He went to Rav David Feinstein, Rav Reuven Feinstein, by a chassan this week, to ask him if the story is true. It's a very interesting story. Everyone knows Rav Moshe's father, and Rav Reuven's father, was a gadol shel gadolim. If not for Rav Moshe being how big he was, people wouldn't realize how big his father was. The original Rav David Feinstein. Rav David Feinstein was emes gadol. And the story related was that Rav David had a friend of his, and they made a tonight together with each other, that they're going to go upstairs at 120, whoever goes first, they're going to come down, be megala, how it works, the Yom HaDin and Shemayim. That's what he said. The Meiser, the other one passed away first. And like his promise, he was given Rishus, I don't know exactly how these things work, he was given Rishus to come down and tell Rav David Feinstein, the original Rav David Feinstein, what goes on in Shemayim. And my friend, just to say over the story, because it's interesting, my friend told me that he went up to Rav Reuven and he asked Rav Reuven, he heard the story. Rav Reuven said, I never heard the story. So my friend said he took it the wrong way. I'm giving him a shout out because I'll attend the... He took it the wrong way. He thought Rav Reuven was saying, like, I never heard the story. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know how old Rav Reuven is, but he's 80 plus years old. I never heard the story. Forget about it. So my friend started walking away at the chasa. And Reuven called him back. He's a young man. No, finish the story. I'm curious what happened. So he took it as a positive that he held from it. And he told him, the nifter told Rav David Feinstein that you should know, in Olam Emes, the mitzvah's essays are very didactic on the mitzvah's essays. The lois essays they're not so big with. That's what the story was going around saying. So Rav Reuven said he never heard the story. So my friend said, I want to be mefarish the story. And my friend was mefarish the story on the same way. The mitzvah's essay, most of the mitzvah's essay we do over the course of our lifetime, lemaisa, our mitzvah's min lemuda, we do it out of habit. Most of the things we do in life, we do out of habit. Zikr the mitzvah's we do out of habit. So what are they being medactic with you? They're being medactic how much simcha you had with the mitzvah. You had the mitzvah with simcha, it's a whole new game. The mitzvah itself, no. The simcha with the mitzvah. How many of us here right now are excited we put on the yarmulke? It's part of our dress code. We don't even think about it at all for two seconds. We won't get that much, we'll get some credit, but not too much credit. But the simcha shabai, that credit is something we could take and we could exponentially make our ways much, much better. Interesting zach. The Gemara says, that we should say Hal and Rosh Hashanah Kippur. As a kasha. Why don't we say Hal and Rosh Hashanah Kippur? So Gemara says, it's Hal and Rosh Hashanah Kippur. Sifra Chaim and Sifra Mesim. The book of the law, the living and the book of the dead are right in front of you. Wait, how are you going to talk about, what are you going to talk about and say Hal? That's what the Gemara says. A very simple Gemara. The Chassam Sofer, if you look at his drashas, Gerado, almost every single year, the Chassam Sofer speaks about this Gemara. And he starts with this initial kasha. Why, yes, say Hal and Rosh Hashanah Kippur? We say Hal when a Nes occurs. When does a Nes occur? Sukkot, yeah. And on your covered, Pesach Havada, right? Shavuos, you could say, what's the nace that happens on Rosh Hashanah? I mean, what are we celebrating? That's what I'm saying. What nace are we celebrating? Say, how? That's the Chassam Sofer's Kasha, and through the drash of the Chassam Sofer, he has multiple terutzim. But one of them is a little bit on the direction we're saying tonight. He says, the idea is that the Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mesim doesn't mean they're judging you for who's going to be live and the other way. That's not what it means. Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim means on the mitzvahs that you did during the year, Mamash Chasid Shavart, who is doing it with a chias, Sifrei Chaim, and who is doing it with Mesim? Milabuddha, who is doing it automatically, because that's what they automatically do. That's what Chassam Sofer says, and it's much more of a drasha we're not getting into because I came late. But that drasha, you should look up, it's an unbelievable drasha. Shem Mem Tesem Abez, I think it is, 349, third column. And he has a whole thing based on this idea that we're talking about, but not saying everything we're saying. He's saying why it means this way. But I think it's the same idea. There is an idea that l'maisa, every mitzvah we have is automatic. But the simcha we have, that defines who we are in life. That defines what we're going to be judged on. We're being judged in a week from now on Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Meisim means we're being judged on how much chiyus we had in the mitzvah. Why are we going into slichas with a simcha? Why are we going into with a simcha? I'll tell you why. Because l'maisa, that's what it's all about. It's all about that. We gave you a Shabbos to rest. We gave you a this is what the Rishonim say. You gave a Shabbos to rest. And now we're going to go into slichas. You want to make sure you're besimcha that can move. Why is it so important? It's important because that's everything about the day of judgment. Like the person told Rav Dovah Feinstein. Everything about the judgment is a mitzvah's essay, which we're interpreting, that it means mitzvah's essay negeya to simcha itself. L'maisa on Rosh Hashanah, we're coming to an end. Everyone's getting nervous. L'maisa on Rosh Hashanah, we don't say halal, but the Gemara says that avada with noyik simcha, and we eat a festive meal, and we sit, the Torah says, with confidence that we know a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge us for good. It's all going to be positive. So, this I want to say over. The word, it says, when Rivka went, because she had the suffix what was going on in her system, she didn't know yet that she had twins exactly. I don't think she knew then the twins were around. But she realized when she went about the desire, something happened. When she went to Shul, something happened. And she was so concerned about her physical body while she was pregnant that she ran to Shem Be'ever to find out what's going on. And it says like this, the famous answer. Hashem l'shnei goyim b'bitnech. You have two. Shnei l'umim, two giant nations. Mimamayach yiparedu. Two nations are in your womb. Two regimes from your insides shall they be separated. From your insides, which means simple, that the moment they're going to give birth, the fighting is going to begin. He's going to grab his ankle, all the stories. The moment, that's what the pastor means. The Maisa, I saw from my grandfather, Zechat Tzadik Bracha, Shmuel Hibna, he says over, Mimayach Paredu means that you could tell the difference between a Yid and a Goy, Mimayach, by how they eat. How they sit and eat. That's the difference between a Yid and a Goy. Echal Tazoy, Maisa Rosh Hashanah comes, we all know what Yom did. We all know what Yom did. We don't say how. But what we do is we sit b'simcha on Rosh Hashanah and have a meal b'simcha. Why are we having a meal b'simcha? Because we're being judged by that. But not only, it's a tifer of art, not only being judged on the simcha we're going to have on Rosh Hashanah, but it's one step more. When we sit down b'simcha on Rosh Hashanah, we know we're eating like Azovi Yid eats. We celebrate Azovi Yid eats. Not the way the other nations of the world, when they sit down to celebrate, how they celebrate the New Year's and how they get drunk on the New Year's, they have a different type of celebration than we have. A Yid has to know that he has a simcha. That's very, very, very important. Obviously, maybe one of the most important things in your judgment you're going to have is how much simcha you have in your situation. But also, that you have to look like a Yid during the simcha. So hopefully, we'll start slichas now. We have a week to get into Rosh Hashanah. Hopefully, we'll be in Yerushalayim for the real simcha of the Gula. Mehri Menu Amen.